Hello and welcome to the T3 podcast. I'm wearing a suit, honestly. Coming up on this week's show, phone rumours abound ahead of Mobile World Congress. Apple announces record profits. Probably should have hung on to those shares. And O2 drops a clanger, passing on your phone number with every web page you visit. Whoops. Plus, we'll be looking at the biggest tech lies we all fall for, such as the one about this podcast being on iTunes every Friday. Joining me in this web of deceit, my co-host, singular, the lovely Ree Morgan, and not T3's Mr. No. Duncan Bell, who's ill again.
He's poorly. He's been poorly all week. He's been off since Tuesday.
This does not bode well at all.
He seems to have a really bad strain of flu.
Journo flu.
He's got that.
It's even worse than man flu.
It's kind of, I think he might be thinking, I didn't go to Vegas. Everyone went to Vegas. I'm going to be ill.
Not even going to Barcelona.
No, exactly. Yeah. So, but he did actually send an email to me this morning and the subject line was ill, but he spelt it aisle. I apostrophe double L. So he must be.
That's properly ill.
That's properly
if his grammar's
Ill.
Gone.
Yeah.
That's it.
You probably can't see straight right now.
I am honestly wearing a tie.
It's a rather jazzy lime green tie.
Yeah, it's kind of a newsreader tie.
Yeah,
really.
It is, yeah. It's kind of like everything else is boring.
Yeah.
But wear a jazzy tie.
No, I'm not actually dressed up for this. I was at something much more important before I did the podcast.
Where were you, Dan? Photographing who?
I was with David Miliband, you know, just hanging out. And Kelvin McKenzie, who is the man responsible for dwarf weather forecasts and topless darts. And for no other reason than that, you know, we has earned our respect,
wow.
I think.
In some circles,
did
definitely.
Edit, did edit the sun as well, things like that.
But, yeah. But it was dwarf weather.
Oh, and he was a grumpy old man, you know, on that series.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was one of them. Duncan could do that. It'd be brilliant.
I think we should put him forward for it. He'd be amazing.
Although, we shouldn't class him as old.
Yeah,
that bit. But grumpy man,
yeah.
If they do that.
Grumpy over 30 man.
Which, let's face it, is old. Ancient.
What? It's just past.
Unfortunately,
it's got
I also
pass.
Fall into that category. Anyway, no Duncan. So
no,
anything
not.
You want to get off your chest, Ree, you know?
No, it's been quite a good week, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing remotely strange has happened to me or annoying.
You've moved desk.
I have moved desk.
Which utterly confused me when I came into the
office. I've moved now into the corner. I've got a window seat now.
Ooh. Yeah. Moving up in the world.
Yeah, and a wall that I can make my own.
And it was, you've got now what used to be Matt Hill's desk.
I have, yeah.
Did he leave anything?
Deputy editor. No, I made sure he cleared everything.
I did find... No little surprises.
An old banana, a bit of banana under the desk.
Oh, dear.
But it was like a slice of banana. So whether he's eaten sliced banana...
It's like
banana,
a dried...
Yeah, but it could have been an old, fresh banana.
Did it start off dried?
That's the question.
There we go. Excellent.
That's the only thing I got to rant about, a banana.
Right. Well, on then to our top story. And no sooner is CES in the rearview mirror than up on the heat-hazed horizon, it's Mobile World Congress. The annual mobile phone shindig gets underway next month, and the rumours have already started. So let's have a look at some of these. Rather obvious, really.
Yeah.
Samsung Galaxy S3.
That's got to be a cert, isn't it?
Well, yes. But what's it going to be like, I guess, is the question. Bigger, thinner, better.
Bigger, thinner, better. That's what they all say about all the phones. Bigger, thinner, better. Quad-core is one that people have been talking about, but I don't think the Samsung Galaxy S3...
Oh, you don't think it's going to be? Because there is a man who reckons, I think it's a man, Eldar. That sounds like a male name.
Yeah, he is. I had a running with him, actually.
Oh, what happened there?
When I used to work for Nokia Conversations, he leaked loads of stuff and basically he was blacklisted.
Really? Was he
Nokia.
On the money?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, right. Okay,
he
well,
knew.
That's...
He was told by someone in Nokia under embargo and, you know, he's a really well-known blogger.
This adds some weight to this then because blogger come industry analyst, Eldar Murtazin. Is that how you say it?
Murtazin. Yeah.
Okay. He reckons that an April in-store arrival is likely. He says he's had a hands-on with it.
I would believe that.
He says it's a 4.65-inch 720p Super AMOLED. So HD Super AMOLED.
Yeah.
2 gig of RAM, which is quite a lot. And he reckons 1.5 to 1.6 gigahertz quad-core.
See, I would... Because I remember at Nokia, we did kick off a fuss because he did get everything right. So maybe I'll retract my statement that it won't have God.
Surely you should be kicking off more if he gets everything wrong.
Hmm. No, because it ruined a launch. Mm-hmm. It was like,
damn
you know.
Him. And a 12 megapixel cam, which is quite a lot.
That is quite impressive. But, you know, Samsung have always been good, like with all their Galaxy range to like up the megapixels.
I know the S2 sold bucket loads. Hmm. But I was never that, visually the screen and everything was lovely and it was powerful and thin, which ticks a lot of my boxes, but it was just so plasticky and creaky. And
it was much better than the original Galaxy. Do you remember that? That was really plasticky.
It was a big rip off of the iPhone
3GS. Yeah. It was just unbelievably similar. But yeah, the S2, I quite like it. Using it now. I've got the white one that I've started using. And it is a fantastic phone.
If they could just, bring in a bit of metal, I'd be happy.
A metal back, maybe.
Something a bit more solid.
But the Galaxy Note, that feels solid. It's still plastic, but it feels a bit more solid.
I want premium, Ree.
Do you?
Damn it. If it's not titanium.
Are you saying that just because Duncan's not here? He's usually like, I want luxe. I want it all gold plated.
I don't want ostentatious. Mm. That's all that kind of diamond studded and gold. Yeah. And all that. No, none of that. But solid, really.
Yeah, but
solid.
I think that's why Samsung do so nails. Well.
Solid,
it?
You know.
They could, but they could keep the price down.
No.
I would pay the premium.
That's the plebs can have the plastic one. LG coming.
I don't know about this.
This is a successor to the LG Optimus 3D, apparently called the CX2. But was anyone that... I mean, it was impressive when we saw the Optimus 3D, but no one... 3D has not set the world on fire.
No, I haven't. I don't know anyone who's got one.
Not on the Nintendo 3DS, and I really don't know anyone who's got a 3D phone.
No.
And it was advertised pretty heavily.
It was everywhere, and... I know a few of my friends who don't work in the tech world, they were impressed by it. They were like, oh, yes. But it's not something they'd go, oh, actually, yeah, I'm going to upgrade to that amazing 3D phone.
If someone showed you in the pub, you'd be like, blimey, that's amazing. But what would you use it for?
Yeah, that's the
what
key
would you
question.
Actually...
I tried to show my mum. She was just not impressed.
Some of the games, okay, it works for that. And
but
it's nice
some of the games,
movies,
there's not that many games out there for you to play 3D and... But then again, I don't know what else LG is going to do. Like, they seem to have kind of said that they're going to do the 3D thing on their phones, and that's their
thing. But and as well, they're not even like they're tweaking the old one. So apparently, the 3D is going to be better. Sub 10 mil thickness, which is nice. It's going to be nice and thin. 1.2 gigahertz dual core, which is just a little nudge up from the old one, which was a gigahertz.
Yeah.
NFC, always good to see.
Yeah.
And the real clank now, this is just one website that's come out with this, Pocket Now, which has come up with all these stats, and they could all be nonsense.
Hmm.
But it says, and this is really random, that it's running Gingerbread. Which one of the comments underneath basically went, Gingerbread ? DOA, as in dead on arrival. And I'm inclined to agree. If it comes out with Gingerbread, what?
Yeah, it is quite archaic. You could understand it a couple of, about 6 months ago. It'd be like, Gingerbread, but Honeycomb's coming. Now you
I could even understand it on a phone coming out today.
Yeah.
But on a phone you are announcing at Mobile World Congress in 2012 to say you're going to have an OS that's, knocking on
what would
well
be the reason?
Year.
Are they going to say, Gingerbread is good? Because if there is no reason for them to say, 3D works better on Gingerbread.
That makes no sense. No. I mean, it could be... utter rubbish.
Maybe Pocket Now just hate LG and they've gone, right, we're just gonna sock it now.
Screw it.
Stir. No one's gonna go to the LG stand. We'll just say it's Gingerbread.
One thing we're not gonna see in Barcelona, an iPhone 5.
Yeah.
But there's been, there's lots of rumours. But this one sort of is one of those that is kind of based in fact.
Right.
So people are saying it's gonna be slimmer. And this is thanks to a new Sony camera. Now, Sony have launched this because Sony make a lot of the modules that go into mobile phones and Apple does use them. So this would make sense. So Sony have come out with a really thin, because that's one of the things that's holding back thin phones, is to physically fit a camera in. You know, obviously you've got to have a lens, you've got to have some gap to a sensor so you can bend the light onto the sensor.
Yeah.
And then you've got to have some processing gubbins behind the sensor. Obviously, there's only so thin you can make that. But apparently Sony have come up with a new way of doing this. I don't understand it, so I'm just going to read it. Sony says, this image sensor layers the pixel section containing formations of back-illuminated structure pixels onto chips, containing the circuit section for signal processing, which is in place of supporting substrates for conventional back-illuminated CMOS image sensors. So obviously that's all clear now. And
no, I know. No, this is how they do lenses on actual cameras, because someone at Samsung told me this at CES, because they've got that, it's like a stupidly thin camera. I can't remember what it was announced at CES.
Yes.
And he told me virtually that and said, well,
what does it mean?
It just means that, because before it was the other way around. So you'd have, you'd have the back illumination, you should have a front illumination. Something was like, so they flipped it the other way in cameras. And the guy was like, that's what's going to happen in mobile phones next.
Right.
So I think,
well, that's very clear now.
Yeah.
But I think they've done something and it makes it thinner.
Yeah. But I think that's what the iPhone 4S had it in, but they must have improved it now.
So apparently this is going to make the next iPhone much thinner.
Great. Which, that thing, that backlink structure pixels onto chips.
That thing that Sony does.
Well, we don't even know how it works. We just want to know if it does work.
True.
Is it thin? Does it make it thin? Then great. Fantastic. Mm-hmm.
But it could also explain why maybe the iPhone 5 didn't come out and the iPhone 4S did, because if they couldn't actually physically make it thinner with the technology available, why bother shaving half a millimeter off or whatever? Why not wait till the next leap forward in terms of the camera?
Which, and they must have known it was coming.
That was the thing
that
was holding it back. Yeah, obviously, Sony would be telling them, okay, well, we've got this coming down the line. So maybe they thought, okay, well, the next redesign, we wait until we can make this much thinner.
Well, that is exciting, because we were struggling before with the iPhone to find out what they were going to make different.
Mm-hmm. And this is going to be...
But then why... Surely Samsung must have the same technology for their Galaxy S3.
Well, yeah.
Because...
they're going to make it just as thin.
Yeah.
It's going to be wafer thin.
This is going to be ridiculous.
They could even make a razor that's actually thin, because that new razor, what was that?
It wasn't even that thin, was it?
It wasn't that thin. And especially as it had a little camera bit.
Had a ridge.
Yeah, for the camera.
Yeah.
My case in point. So we could have a properly thin razor. Away again from Mobile World Congress, Carl from Weho. Right.
What?
So, Lumia 900
came
out at CES. We all went, that's lovely, but it's not going to come out here because it's 4G LTE and we don't have 4G yet.
Yes.
So that's nice for America, but we're not going to see it. Then Carphone Warehouse puts up on its, it's sort of coming soon page, and it had a holder page for it saying, sign up here and we'll send you information when this is coming. A dedicated page to the Lumia 900. Now it's pulled it. So what does that mean? Does that mean it's coming?
Yeah, because I heard it was coming in June.
Yeah, well, that was what Carphone Warehouse was saying. So either Carphone Warehouse are idiots because they put up a page for a phone that's never coming out here, or Carphone Warehouse are somehow
ahead of the game,
dropped a whoopsie and they've announced something before they're allowed to.
I think it's likely that they've announced something before they're allowed to, because I'm sure Nokia will do something at Mobile World Congress. They have to do something at Mobile World Congress.
So maybe a sort of a European version.
Yeah, at
without
Mobile World
Congress. LTE.
Without the 4G.
Which would be a shame, but then it is, it's a nice thing. It's a much bigger screen, it's running Mango, souped up processor, and it's got a front-facing cam, which the 800 doesn't.
No, don't think it does, no.
Pretty sure. In fact, I was playing with one in the pub.
Were you? Yeah. Loads of people love that, and actually people on the pod love that.
Tell you what, I was playing with a Cyan one, so they do exist.
It's like the pink one.
That's the blue one, as we have discussed previously.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Magenta.
Yeah, they definitely exist, but it was someone industry. So,
oh really? Industry bod. That's how they do. But there's definitely something. They can't just do that for the US, and then. But they do want to go big in the US because they haven't cracked the US. So that's maybe why they've teamed up, because it's AT&T exclusive, isn't it?
And also just Microsoft. They're American, so it's not. We're so used to the curve kind of being Far East, followed by Europe, followed by the US in a few years' time.
Yeah.
Obviously, Microsoft would be quite keen to flip that the other way around, probably, I would imagine.
Well, I would imagine, seeing that they're huge.
They are rather large over there, I hear.
Yeah. We have heard of them over here, but obviously they're not as big.
And it's not that far away now, Mobile World Congress, is it? You're off?
I'm off there. It's usually around the 15th, so it usually starts on Valentine's Day. But this year it's been pushed back.
Yes, because last year I was there. And I myself and another male journalist were in a flat together.
Didn't I see you on Valentine's
Day?
Yes,
you did, because you were on a press trip and we just had to go and fend for ourselves. So we went to the nearest restaurant, walked in the door, and immediately wished we hadn't, because it was basically decked out for Valentine's Day. There was huge pink helium-filled hearts everywhere, roses on all the tables. And they just instantly assumed we were a gay couple. We were seated,
given
the Valentine's menu.
Yeah. You got given a candle, didn't you? You were in like a nice little secluded corner.
The thing is, if it had been a sort of a mate, we would have just thought this is hilarious and, you know, kind of maybe rolled with it even, you know? But I just met this guy. So I had to have a romantic candlelit dinner with a man I just met.
It was quite amusing to see you from the other side of the restaurant.
I was basically having a gay blind date.
You were. But it was quite funny. Because I was there, but I was in a big group.
Yeah, just to really rub it all in, we thought, okay, well, at least I don't know anyone here. And then in walks Ree with the rest of the Samsung contingent on a big jolly.
I was like,
and you
this
got
time.
Your own little roped off section of the restaurant, de-Valentined.
Yeah. It's quite funny. Did you have a nice time?
The blooming pasta was heart shaped.
Oh, it was lovely. You had a nice time though. You and Alan got to know each other very well.
It was very uncomfortable.
Well, at least the next day.
I don't want to talk about it anymore.
You know, you knew each other very well by the next day.
So, who are you going with? Are you going with anyone this year?
I'm actually going to be fending for myself this year.
See, it's dangerous.
But yeah, but it's not until the 25th.
It's been a bit further away.
Yeah, so it goes into March. Mm-hmm. So no, I'm fending for myself, and we're staying in a load of apartments. Three per apartment, but it's going to be like a weird work friends, because there's four apartments, three in each. So it's going to be really strange. But there's also, there's a double bed in a room.
Okay.
Bunk beds in another. Okay. Or the double bed in the living room.
Ooh.
What'd you go for?
Well, obviously, first choice is settled.
Yeah.
But then do you want camp bed or bunk bed?
Yeah, it's like, that's
dilemmas. These are the dilemmas of a journalist.
See.
Right, good. Okay, well, we look forward to your junket.
Look forward to it. It should be good. I like MWT more than the others. It's nice.
Yes, well, it's in Barcelona. It's a bit more sophisticated.
It's lovely.
Excellent. Well, there's plenty more where that came from. So let me say, here is the news. Apple has announced record profits for the last 3 months of 2011, or 2011 even, almost doubling its totals for the same period in 2010. It's brought in a staggering £30 million of profit, shifting 37 million iPhones, 15 million iPads, 5 million Macs, and 15 million iPods.
Amazing.
Tantalizingly, Apple CEO Tim Cook also promises some amazing new products in the pipeline.
Tim toying with us. In scenes reminiscent of the fall of the Berlin Wall, Sony has announced that its upcoming Xperia Ion and Xperia S will use both America's GPS and Russia's GLONASS network for its location services. It nearly doubles the number of satellites it has to choose from 31 to 51, improving both speed and accuracy.
Fabulous. The Sony PS Vita designer Takashi Sogabe has hinted at a possible slim version of the handheld in the dim and distant future. He's told CVG that he originally wanted a slimmed-down all-metal gamer. See, metal. But logistics price and antenna interference got in the way. He's hoping Sony's engineers will eventually come up with a solution.
Speaking of slim, Ultrabook growth has been forecasted to outshine even the pace of tablets. Juniper Research sees the Ultras going mainstream by 2016, with nearly 178 million being snapped.
Snapped up. I think I've missed a word out there.
Well, they could be snapped. They're quite thin. Despite the phenomenal growth, Juniper still sees tablets shifting more that year, predicting we'll be picking up 253 million of them.
Each. O2 has fixed the flaw, which saw O2 users give away their mobile phone numbers to websites while browsing through their smartphones. It's released a statement saying, in between the 10th of January and 2 p.m. on Wednesday the 25th of January, In addition to the usual trusted partners, there's been the potential for disclosure of customers' mobile phone numbers to website owners. Whoops!
Barack Obama has announced he'll be holding a Google Plus Hangout session.
Yeah.
Following in the footsteps of David Beckham, he'll talk to the public and answer questions on his last State of the Union address before the election. If you want to take part on the 30th of January, you'll need to send a 30-second video clip of your question to Google and hope you get selected. Actually, on that OT thing,
yeah.
My friend got a text yesterday from a dodgy... porn site.
Really? Well, how on earth?
And it was like, how did
number?
I get this? And I was like,
well, that answers it all.
Did you have to go on a dodgy website for the dodgy number?
No, all it was. So basically, what happens is
your number goes anywhere.
What happens is O2, when you visit certain trusted partners, your phone number goes with you. So I guess as a kind of some sort of ID, so they know who you are. That kind of information, because normally a website can see like what browser you're using and where roughly in the country you are and things like that, you know, useful stuff. But yeah, in amongst all that little data was your phone number.
Just oh my
bold
goodness.
As brass.
There we are. Yep. Call me anytime.
There we go. Anyway, time to see what you've been tweeting to at T3DOTCOM and posting on the official T3 podcast Facebook group. You'll have to have Duncan's.
Hello, you creative. Finally running ice cream sandwich on my tablet.
Hooray.
So far, so good. Nothing major, but does finally feel like a tablet and not a big phone. Overall, everything has been tweaked to be multi-display a bit better. Still no great multitasking, better than before, but still the webOS had the best form of multitasking in the cards. To be fair, it is as good as iOS, but even iOS isn't that great at multitasking.
That's like a full review.
That is quite good. We should just post that on T3.
There we go. Yeah,
the verdict.
Yeah, he's got the HP malarkey.
What
thing.
The old HP?
Yeah. And he's stuck. He's stuck Android on it.
Very clever, those creatives.
Yeah, I know. Oh, extraordinary.
Yeah, but I agree with what you say, because I played the ice cream sandwich on the Asus, which I talked about last week, and it's exactly that. It's just a few tweaks, and it does make it feel better, but it's not amazing.
Okay.
I quite like the flick to dismiss.
Do you agree with that sort of more tablety?
It feels like it fits the tablet rather than it's just been blown up.
Okay. One more for you.
Simon White, ever been £1,200 over your bill in data? Wow. My friend's sibling was when she got her new BlackBerry. She was streaming HD YouTube over 3G when she thought it was wireless. Guess she got rimmed bad then.
Ooh,
that's a good one.
Badly rimmed.
Well, Chris, our producer, did an £8,000. £8,000. But he was using a dongle.
Duncan's other half. He went to the States, didn't he? And then they got it slashed.
Yeah.
By Orange.
That's quite scary though. Like YouTube HD. Like that's not just clips. Foolish. That's full movies, surely. She can't just be watching.
Depends where you are. You can easily rack that up on something.
What?
Well, it's like it's over £1 a megabyte. Stuff like
in
that.
In the UK?
No, not in the UK. But,
so she'd have to have been abroad.
Yeah, you can pay. I think you can pay £4 a megabyte. So, you know.
That's ridiculous.
300 megabytes, you've got 1,200 quid, haven't you? Doesn't take long.
Please.
Jens, Frida Rasmussen, State of Hypocrisy on the podcast. Slamming downloaders of copyrighted material in Soper/Peeper discussion. While 5 minutes later, hailing the fact that Dan's school used one book and copied 100 of these. Ah, well, now, you see, the thing is, schools are allowed to do it, you see. You can photocopy, something like up to 5% of a book or excerpts of a book.
Yeah.
And for educational use.
It's the same as university when you do your essays.
Exactly.
You should just go to the journals and just...
Yeah. Yeah,
print loads. You just murder them. Photocopy them. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can actually quite legally, if you're an educational establishment, you've got a license, photocopy books. So I don't think my school is doing anything illegal.
No.
Let me just clarify.
Just to be safe.
He adds, by the way, next week's gadget of the week should be what? The fleshly pad. What is that? Although a concept. It shows the new lows of using an iPad. I'm going to look this up.
What is it?
Fleshly pad.
Does this have something to do with the flesh? Maybe you put your iPad in your hand.
By the fact he says new lows, I think it's probably something disgusting.
You think you have a poo on it?
What, like this Steve Jobs doll?
Yeah. No, that's not what we do with a Steve Jobs.
No. There was a week. Never mind. Okay.
Maybe something to do with tampons.
Oh, my God.
What is it?
Oh, my God.
Okay, what is it?
Oh my God.
Stop saying it.
Oh.
And don't.
Right.
Right, what is it?
It, right.
Can we say this on the podcast?
Have you seen those fleshlight things that get advertised?
No.
Quite a lot.
Fleshlight?
Yes.
No.
Well, imagine a sort of a torch.
Yeah.
That had women's bits that a man might use in some sort of way. And this attaches it to your iPad. That's all I'll say.
What? That just did not make any sense.
But I'll show you a picture. Hold on. Right, while I read this. Where are we? Karim Auj Junaja. That's not, I can't be how you pronounce it. Junaja.
Karim, we'll just call him Karim.
Karim, yeah. Sopa. Stop online pissing about. That was Duncan's suggestion. Love it. Adam Robbins, however, has other suggestions. Stop oafish poor audio. He says, works in terms of the podcast too.
Oh, sometimes.
Yeah, what's that about? I'll just show you this. There you go. Oh, they've kind of blurred the bit that's a bit rude.
Oh, my God. Oh, right, I see.
Yeah, you get it now. Harold Voiceov suggests some old piss artists.
Yeah, works.
That works pretty well for Duncan, definitely. Yeah. Look at again with the old. I should stop this. He's
going to have a complex by the time he gets back on. Yeah. Well, he might be old by the time he's back on the podcast if this illness continues.
Now then, I'm quite excited about this because it's a very nice looking box and I don't know what it is. So what have you got for your gadget of the week?
Show and tell. Well, this... Oh,
wait. I was really excited and then you moved your hand.
Yeah.
And now it says BlackBerry.
Yeah. It's the BlackBerry Porsche design smartphone, the P apostrophe 9981.
It really is the P apostrophe.
You can't call it the P 9009, it's P apostrophe.
Okay, go on. Amazing.
So here it is. So I'm going to take it out of the box. There it is.
Okay.
The Porsche design.
No, right, it's,
so it's not like a reskin or they haven't just put a Porsche on.
Is it metal? Actually,
it is metal. See, yeah. I thought you'd like that.
Yeah, okay. It's sort of quite industrial looking.
Yeah. It's very, if you've seen a Porsche design product before, it looks very much like a Porsche design
very much along those lines.
Product. But you get it with this charging stand, which is also very lovely, and a pair.
You're going to have to unlock it for me. I don't know which
Porsche
is the unlock button. Ooh, look, a little stand. Oh, it's been a long time since a product I bought came with a stand. I like that. It's like a sink cradle.
Yeah. And it also comes with Porsche headphones.
Oh, let's have a look at them.
I can't open the box. Oh, there. it's got exactly the same OS you'd get on the Bolt. I think it's 7.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Porsche headphones there. And also,
they're not as nice as I thought they'd be.
Array of charging plugs.
Very sexy.
But the best bit, guess how much that costs?
Oh. Right, well, just the fact you said that, it's obviously something horrendous. £800.
£1,270.
No, it's not.
It is that. Sold exclusively at Harrods.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
That's the only place you can buy it.
I mean...
But, you know, it's like... It's a nice-looking phone, and it's got that Virtu kind of feel about it, a bit nicer than Virtu, but it's just a grand for a phone.
Terrible.
It's just, you know, and it's got the same specs essentially as what you have in your Bold.
What phone's it based on?
I think it's based on a Bold, but it hasn't got the same fretted design. They've done the keyboard; it's all different on the keyboard. The one thing they sold it's on BB7, brand new, but it's got a Porsche UI that also has an exclusive Wickitude app on
there.
Yeah.
What's that?
It's Wickitude. So it's that AR. Oh, it's an AR app that you can get.
Okay.
It's called Wickitude.
I do like the what's the middle button that you can use as a kind of a touchpad?
I don't know.
What do they call that on BlackBerry? This one's very nice.
It used to be called a nipple.
Yeah, but it's got no moving parts. Anymore. It's just kind of got a glass feel to it. It's quite a sexy thing. So just to describe it, I mean, it's very squared off.
Yeah.
It's a very metallic, industrial looking fascia.
It's got a leather, it's leather actually. It's hand, it's all handmade.
Okay. Leather back.
It's got like hand leather wrapped back.
All right.
It's very nice. It's a bit, it's a bit smaller than a bold, I guess. I just can't get over the price. Why you would?
That's crazy.
So, and there's also BBM. If someone else has got that phone, you can tell that someone else has got that phone. I'm just chatting with you off my Porsche design hands.
Instantly, it becomes a drug dealer's must-have phone.
Yes.
Good.
So.
Okay. Well, wow. Are you going to have a video of that?
Yeah,
up
there's
on
a video up already.
Okay.
Will be a
go
review.
And have a look at that because it's nice looking. It's not £1,200 nice
not
looking.
£1,200,
it's definitely,
is it?
Definitely not. Now, when it comes to technology, we all like to be lured in the promises of ease of use, life-changing features, and all-day battery lives. These are the white lies that keep the gadget world spinning. But some howlers are bigger than others. Teether.com has been collecting the biggest tech lies we all fall for.
Yeah.
Ree, what have you gone for?
Actually, I've started going to the gym.
Oh.
Obviously, it's January. Everyone does it. Everyone finishes. Stops going in February. But it is that heart rate monitor calorie counter that you go on there. And it kind of tells you, you know, it's just my heart rate, my starting heart rate on a cross trainer is just sky high. And then I've been on there for half an hour doing their performance program. And it tells me I've burnt off, like, you burnt off 254 calories. And you're like, I've just watched the whole of Hollyoaks while moving.
But
surely I must have burnt off.
I don't understand
that
because I think, right, basically, okay, so you're recommended, calories is what? It's about 2,500 a day.
I think it's 2,000 for a woman,
okay.
2,500 for a man.
Yeah, that basically, you consume 2,500 calories by standing still, moving around a little bit, sleeping for 8 hours. And because most of the calories you use up are just burnt heating up your body.
Yeah.
Okay, imagine your body is water, mainly water.
Yeah.
So you've got to keep that water at a constant, whatever, I can't remember what body temperature is, whatever it is. That's basically, it's like, it's that you're turning calories into heat. It's pure chemistry, okay?
Yeah.
And you're just turning that into heat. That's where the energy is going. So that uses up an awful lot. So you could stay in bed all day and still use up quite a lot of calories. So per hour, you're using up over 100 calories just doing
nothing.
Very bog standard things. So when you, like... You can kill yourself on a cross trainer and it tells you have burnt off half a kick. How does that...
I don't understand.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I could have burnt that off standing here watching Sky Sports instead of,
I could have been thinking of going on the cross trainer.
That would have... Just the mental activity.
I was thinking about the cross trainer and there you go, 200 calories.
Bang.
Done.
They must lie.
It's also when you're on there and you go in hell for leather and then it's going like one calorie. But then when you're going quite slowly, one calorie.
Also the distances, they must, again, you go, you really pelting at it. You look down, that's 100 metres.
Yeah.
What? No, it's not.
Sure, I've gone so far. I must be going backwards. I must be going forwards and then backwards.
Kilometres seem like about 6 miles on those things.
And time as well on those things. This morning, I got on at 7 o'clock, according to BBC News. Mm. 7:30, I got off. According to the cross trainer, I still had 10 minutes before I did half an hour. I was like, well, that's obvious lies.
They definitely lie. I like the microwave one. Microwave meals. Mm. The timings on them. And the promise of the picture on the packet. When has a lasagna ever come out of a microwave looking like the packet?
No, because they've got it all stacked up nice, haven't they?
And then even if it looks vaguely like a lasagna when it's in the dish, by the time you've scooped it out, sort of, you know, scalding yourself with a thermonuclear base layer and actually put it on a plate, no one's going to be impressed by that.
Bastard bechamel gets you every time.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like that. And it always tells you, like, 2 minutes, then leave to stand.
The only thing...
Stir.
I tell you what, the only thing that actually lives up to its promise, and it's the most wonderful creation ever, is microwave rice. How fantastic is that stuff? 2 minutes.
Good.
Rice. Because I can never get rice right.
No, why is that?
Right. I've seen people
I've got
do
so
rice
many tips.
And they go, right, okay, you put this much rice. You wash the rice, then you put it in, then you put this much water, and then just leave it. Leave
yeah,
it.
Just leave it, leave it.
All the water boils off and it's perfect fluffy rice. Look at that. No. When I do it, it's all stodgy. I've not either put it on for long enough, I put it on for too long,
burnt.
And it's gone to glue. The bottom is well and truly welded.
Yeah.
So I am all for microwave rice. It's currently 66 pence a bag at Marks and Spencer's. I stocked up yesterday. Very good value.
Very good. Very
excellent.
Good.
Well, that's about all we have for this
culinary
week.
Tip.
Yes, yes. Remember, T3.com has all the latest. T3 is on the shelves and on your tablet. And we're on iTunes every Friday. Till next week then, I've been Dan Maudsley, and you've been listening to the T3 Podcast.